Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Pei Ches. And we begin about 10-15 lines down at the two dots where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, V'chein shnei gezustros v'chulei. The Mishnah had a situation where you had the two balconies, one a little bit higher than the other. They were within four tefachim of each other. And we said that if the bottom balcony didn't make the mechitza, so then it ruins it for the top balcony. Unless, of course, they made an Erev Chatzeris, and then everything would be fine. But if the bottom one ruins it for the top one, if they only the top one has the mechitza teluya, and the bottom one did not make an erev chatzeros with the top one. So Gemara says, Amrev hu nami rav, lo shanu ela bismucha. As I alluded to, this is only when they are within a distance of each other of within four tefachim. Avo bimuflegis, if they're further apart than that, then the upper one, El Yona Muteris, is allowed to use this mechitza teluya, and the lower balcony doesn't ruin it for them. Why is that? Because we had this old discussion a couple of days ago. Rav Lutaimei, Rav goes Lushitaso, and Rav's famous sheet that we had a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, Rav holds Ein Adam Oser Al Chaveiro Derech Avir. Because the only way that the bottom balcony has to get to the top balcony is to toss the bucket into the top balcony area. They can't just walk over there because they're not within Dalet Tvachim. And therefore, they have, in this situation, the potential to ruin it for the up one only through the air. And Rav Sheet is, Ein Adam Oser Al Chaveiro Derech Avir. Rav says you can't ruin it just by going through the air. Rabbi says the name of Rav Chiya, the Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Hoshaya. And also as well, Rav Yosef said, it's the name of Rav Hoshaya, this following enigmatic statement that we're going to have to explain because it seems to be mutually contradictory. Number one, they say, Yesh Gazel B'Shabbos, that you could have a stealing, you could have a theft of someone else's property on Shabbos. However, V'churba Machzir L'Ba'olim. But if it's a rune, so then it returns it to the Balaam. What in the world are we talking about, and why is this internally contradictory? So Rashi explains over here, Yez Gezel B'Shabbos Zuchur B'Machzel B'Olam, says, Hashta Solka Daitach, you might have thought, that this is what these two statements of these Amoraim are telling us. Mutter Ligzol B'Shabbos Rishuyos, Ulishtamish Bo B'Churvasu Shechaveiro, Hasmuchalo. You might have thought that on Shabbos, you're allowed to go and use the rune that's next to you, even if it doesn't belong to you, and carry from that rune into your property, just like Yehecha Deragib Bobachol, because you've been using it all week long. So therefore, since you've been using it all week long, so you might have thought that you can use it on Shabbos as well. Hov Stam Churva Ein Habala Mishtamshin Bo Kol Kach. Since the owners of that Churva, it's a Churva, it's a rune, they're not using it that much, and therefore, Kani Lo Hai Begoz Lo So. And therefore, the person has acquired it, so to say, with Gazel. He's not allowed to do this. He has to ask permission. But since he's already using it during the weekdays, he's acquired it. Kishar Gazelotim, like a regular case of theft, where a person can acquire something through theft. Again, the Torah doesn't sanction the theft, but the Torah tells us what are the practical ramifications. If you steal something, so sometimes that belongs to you. It has huge nafkamina, huge practical ramifications. If you're a Makadosh woman with that, if it's yours, she's Mekudeshes. If it's not, then she's not Mekudeshes. In any event, since during the week you acquire this, the Nasis Rishu, so Rashi says, it becomes as if it's yours, so therefore you'd be allowed to use it on Shabbos. However, then it says, V'churva machzir lebalim, what's the second part of the statement? Mashma al-korcho iser Shabbos machzir lebalim. It returns, because it's Shabbos, now to the Rishus of the original owners, v'tzorech lachzira, and it is halachically considered like it belongs to the owners. And therefore, the ain knu yolo, and you've lost it. Amo also l'shtamish bo, therefore you wouldn't be allowed to carry it from the Skurba into your chotzer, or vice versa, back and forth. So the two statements are contradictory. The Gemara says, Hagufakasha. The first part tells us, Armis Yesh Gozal B'Shabbos, which implies, Al-Makanya, that you do, in fact, own that area through Gezela, through theft, but it's yours, and you could be able to carry from your yard, your house, into this Korva, and back and forth, because it's as if it's yours, because all week long you've been using it. Like a Ganav, you've acquired it. However, then the second part says, Korva Mahzal Labalim implies Amalo Kanya, that you haven't acquired it, and it returns on Shabbos back to the ownership of the original owners of the Korva, and therefore you're not allowed to carry within it. So it's mutually contradictory. What's going on over here? So when it says, Hachi Kamarat, we didn't understand the statement correctly. It tells us, Yesh din gozel b'Shabbos. It tells us that there is a din of gezel on Shabbos. In other words, that even though you've been using it all week long, it doesn't give you the rights halachically to carry into it on Shabbos. Kate said, what's an example of this? The churba machzir lebalim. That in this situation, even though you've been using it inappropriately all week long, on Shabbos, it's not considered yours, and you have to go and either acquire it from the other person, make an Eir Chaseris with the other person, but you can't automatically, just because you've been using it during the week, inappropriately use it on Shabbos. Amar Rabba, Rabba tells us the following, Umozvinon Ashmaisen. We can ask a question on this statement that we just made. Again, Rabba was one of the people that made this statement in the name of Rechia, and he said, we could ask on this from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, the case that we just talked about, we have the two balconies, and the lower balcony did not make an Erech Hatzeres with the upper balcony, and the upper balcony has the Mechitza Teluya, and we said that the lower balcony is ruining it for the upper balcony if they're within four Tvachim of the upper balcony. So the question that Rabbi asks is based upon this statement that there's Gezel B'Shabbos V'Churba Machzir L'Balim, V'Yamris Yesh Din Gezel B'Shabbos, that this applies Amay Asuros. The lower balcony is stealing, so to say, from the upper balcony. They don't have rights to go over there. So just because they physically can, just like you can physically go to the Churba, what gives you the right to go carry from the Churba into your Chatzir? So Tovia, what gives you the right to go and ruin it for the people in the upper balcony just because you physically can go there? You don't have the right to go there. And therefore, Yesh Din Gezel B'Shabbos, and based upon this principle of a Churba Machzir L'Balim, so Amai Asuros. Why does the lower balcony ruin it for the upper balcony? The upper balcony should be allowed to use their Mechitza Teluya, even though the lower balcony is within four Tvachim of them. That's Rabba's question. Amar Rav Sheshes answers, and he says, "Hach Mayaskini, you know what this case is dealing with? Kigon sha'asu mechitza bishutvis. Ah, the people in the lower balcony, they participated in the building of the mechitza tluya in the upper balcony. And therefore, as Rashi says, osu mechitza shalayona bishutvis. They participated in it. They paid half the cost. And therefore, they in fact are owners in that area, and that's why this is not similar to the Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos V'Churba Machzir L'Balim case the Rabbi and Rav Yosef had brought down. This is in fact a different situation. The lower balcony is in fact partners with the upper balcony. That's what Rav Sheshes answers. Moore says, if that's correct, Ihachi ki asu l'tachtona nami. So then, how come the halacha is that if the lower balcony, as Rashi points out, b'nei tachtona l'tachtona im yesh lahem, Shutvis Belyona, Nami Asriela. But the halacha is that if the bottom balcony made their own Mechitza Tluya, even though they didn't make an Erech Hatzeres for the upper balcony, so then they don't ruin it for the upper balcony. But why not? If they participated in paying for the upper balcony's Mechitza Tluya, so then why, even though they have their own Mechitza Tluya, do they not ruin it still for the upper balcony? That's the question the Gemara asks. Ihachi ki asu l'tachtona nami. If they made their own mechitza tluya on the bottom one, but they still had rights because they're partners in the upper one, they still should root it for the upper one unless they made an Erech Hatzeres for the upper one. Gemara says, no. Kiven di asu l'tachtona. Since they made their own mechitza tluya on the bottom one, so gilui gale daita. This is a clear-cut evidence that they've demonstrated that they don't wish the participation in the upper balcony. If they didn't make their own, then yes, they'd like to participate in the upper balcony, and they would ruin it for the upper balcony unless they made an Erech Hatzeres. But by making their own Mechitza Tluya on the lower balcony, they've essentially demonstrated that we're not interested in the upper balcony. Gilui gale daite. Da'ano bahadoch lo nicholi. They're saying, I have no need for the upper balcony, Mechitza Tluya, because we made our own lower balcony, Mechitza Tluya. And therefore, I with you, anoch bahadoch lo nicholi, I don't have to be with you. And that's why it doesn't ruin it. But otherwise, taki, it would ruin it. Because they were partners. And if you're partners, then you definitely go and ruin it. Next Mishnah. This Mishnah we had alluded to in yesterday's shir. This will deal with an akka. An akka, we said, is a pit, a guma, Rashi says, that basically was a sewage area. They would dig a hole there to be able to pour out their wastewater that would go into this hole without going out further beyond their chatzah. And this way, as we'll see, a person who normally has two sosayim of wastewater per day per person, so they would be able to go if it was a small yard and make sure that they could still pour out their wastewater in their yard without having it go out into the Rishus HaRabin. The Mishnah begins and says, Chotzer sheep bechusa me arba amos. A chotzer that is smaller than arba amos, Rashi will tell us on the Omid Beis, this means arba amos by arba amos, that if you have a chotzer that is less than 4 amos by 4 amos, in this situation, you're not allowed to pour water from your house into this yard, even though it's your yard. You can carry from this house into your yard and vice versa. If there are other people there, it's all through an Erev Chatzeros. You're allowed to do this. But when you're pouring water out there, if the yard is smaller than 4 by 4, the water is going to go into the Rishus HaRabim. It's going to pour out from this yard into the Rishus HaRabim. And that's not allowed, because then it's your koach that's making it go from the Rishus HaYochin into the Rishus HaRabim, and that would be problematic. So therefore, in this situation, when the yard is small, it's smaller than 4x4, it's called pechusa, 4x4, it's smaller than 4x4 amos, so in this situation, you're not allowed to pour your water out there unless elu imkein asula uka, unless you made this sewage area, this drain that you can pour the water into that is a certain size. How big is the size? Machzekes sosayim. It holds 2 saw. That again, we mentioned, the Gemara will tell us, is the amount of wastewater that an average person has each day. So you have to have that this uka, this pit in the ground, is able to hold this sosayim, and this has to be min hanekiv ulamata. Whatever you have, there's the water coming out through some sort of a pipe, a hole that comes out there. So you have to have below that hole, you have to have the ability to hold 2 sosayim, not from the lip of the bar, but if there's some sort of a drainage pipe that comes out from this uka, so it has to have below that a sosayim, the 2 saw worth of water that can hold below that drainage pipe exiting from this uka. And this is true wherever the uka is, beimi b'chutz, beimi b'fnim. The uka can be within the chotzer, or the uka can be actually outside the chotzer. And if you want to see what these diagrams look like, you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 104, diagram number 311, or you can see this in the Pirush Chai, in diagrams on page 189, number 104 and 105. Now, the Gemara Mishnah tells us, continues, Ella, the only difference is whether you make the uka inside in the chatzar or you make it outside right next to the chatzar is Ella Shemi Bachutz Tzorik Likmar. When you're making it outside the chatzar, you're making it in the Rishus Harabim in this situation, so then you have to go and cover it up. As Rashi says, Mibachut Sarach Likmar, Lechasus Piyub in Asarim. You have to put boards over the top of it. Sheyip Lamayim Yodov, Lesoch Mokum Ptur. In this situation, the water is not going into the Rishus HaRabim, it's going into a Mokum Ptur. If it goes into a Mokum Ptur, you're allowed to go carry from your Rishus HaYachid into a Mokum Ptur. By boarding it up, you're turning it into a Mokum Ptur. One of the explanations for how this occurs is because by putting these boards on the top, it's not going to fill up with schmutz and leaves and all sorts of other stuff that will make it have an inadequate depth to it. And this way, by putting the boards on the top, it's going to make sure that it maintains an adequate depth that you can have the sosayim inside of it, and therefore it is a makom ptur. Other reasons given for doing this or that it's a makkah. You basically have to build a fence around it or cover it up so people don't fall into it. Others say, if you don't have it covered up, it looks like you're pouring it directly into the Rosh HaSarabim. And the other reasons given as well, bottom line is, if it's not in the chatzar, it has to be covered. However, mi bifnim, the Mishnah tells us, ain't tzarech likmar. If it's inside, you don't have to, because you're pouring it right into this, or you're pouring it into the chatzar, and it's going to go into the uka, and there is no concern for any of the reasons that we just mentioned. Now we're going to have a statement from Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And normally it would sound like there was a Tana Kama here, and then there was the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so the Gemara is going to revise that and say this is really all Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So when we get to the Gemara, we'll understand this better. Right now we'll just have it as a statement. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says the following. He says, if you have a bib is a drainage pipe of some sort, a channel, shu komor, that's covered up for arba amos, for the first 4 amos that it's in the Rishus HaRabim. So in this situation, Shovchin L'socho Mayim B'Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov allows you to pour the water directly into this biv. Again, Rashi tells us this biv is a choritz, it's a ditch, a channel of some sorts, that is Asui L'Kaleach Shovchim Shebechotzi L'Rishus HaRabim. It channels the water from your courtyard into Rishus HaRabim. And as long as it's covered up, Shukamor B'meshach Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim, so it's perfectly acceptable to pour the water directly into this biv. Rashi explains, Kimlon Ba'Arba Amos, when it's a distance of 4 amos, Yesh Shir Libol Abahem Sosayim Mayim. The distance that it will travel, it has enough room there to absorb the water that you're putting in, the sosayim water that a person has, sha'adam asu listapik b'chol yom. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, you're allowed to do this. You can pour it into the biv, as long as the biv is going to be covered up for the first 4 amos in the Rishus HaRabim, it will be able to be absorbed there, and it won't be pouring into the Rishus HaRabim. The Chacham disagree. The Chachamim omrim, afilu gag o chotzer mea ama. He says, even if you're dealing over here with a gag or a chotzer, it's 100 ama. In other words, that this biv is running for a huge distance inside the Rishus HaYochid. Lo yishpoch al pi habiv. You're not allowed to pour it directly into the biv because it's going to go into the Rishus HaRabim directly from the biv, and that you're not allowed to do. However, what you can do, according to these chachamim, avol shofechu legag, you can pour the water onto the gag. And again, if you want pictures of this, you can see this in the Pirush Chai on page 190 in diagram number 107. And in this situation, it will flow from the Gog into the Biv. You didn't pour it into the Biv, but you poured it onto the Gog, which will then flow into the Biv, and that's perfectly acceptable. Avoshofichu leGog, v'amayim yordan leBiv, they'll go into the Biv on their own, and that is allowed according to these Chachamim. In the Gemara, we'll have another opinion of a different Chachamim that will say even this isn't allowed to be done. So we basically have Shita or Lesben Yaakov, they can pour it directly into the Biv in your Chatzer, and as long as it's covered up in the first four amos that it goes into the Shusha Rabim, it's fine. You have the opinion of the Chachamim that say, no, you're not allowed to pour it into the Biv, but you can pour it onto the roof, and then the Gemara will have a third opinion, even more Machmin, it says you're not even allowed to pour it onto the Gag if it's going to go into the Biv. Then the Mishnah concludes and it says, Hechotzer v'yachsadra, if you have a Chatzer and you have an Achsadra, so a chotzer is your yard, and achsadra is an area that has a roof over it, but doesn't necessarily have walls to it. Mitztarfin li arba amos. They can combine together to make arba amos. As we said at the beginning of the Mishnah, if your courtyard is more than arba amos by arba amos, so then you don't need to make an uka. It's only if it's less than arba amos, because if it's more than four amos by four amos, there's enough room to absorb the water, the sasayim that a person has just in his own courtyard, and therefore you don't need to have an uka. So here you have the chotzer, let's say that's two amos, and the achsadra that's two amos, so they can combine together, mitztarfin le'arba amos. And again, we have the word v'chein over here, and it's not clear that this v'chein is in fact a correct and likewise, or the word should be deleted. So Rashi seems to delete the word. In any event, a similar type of a din, shtei diyutos zu kineged zu. A diyutos, they can see in a nice picture in the Pirush Chai, page 190 in diagram 109, these diyutos, so Rashi tells us, are alios v'chotzer psucha me'arba amos lufneim sheshochim bo me'mehem. So you have, these diyutos are like a second floor porch area, or a ledge area. Again, you see this in the diagram. And you have a chotzer that you have steps from this diotos down into the chotzer. And then you have an uka only on one side. So the halach is, if you have shtei diotos, you have one on the right side of the courtyard and one on the left side. Zu kineged zu. Now, miktsasa, and only on the right side, asu uka. Only the people on the right side made an uka, and the people on the left side, miktsasa, lo asu uka. They didn't make an uka. Again, this is diagram 109 on page 190 in the Pirush Chai. You can see this very clearly. So in this situation, only those, esha asu uka mutarin, only the side, the right side in my case, that made the uka, are allowed to have their water go into the uka. Esha lo asu uka, but the side on the left is not allowed to pour the water into the chatzer to go into the uka. That is asur. Eshelo asur uka asurin. We'll again explain this when we get to the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says, "My time up." Rashi explains, "Achotzer pechusa me'arba amos demashma ho arba amos shari." Where do you get the idea that it's talking about that a chotzer that is smaller than dalet amos by dalet amos that requires a uka, but why does something larger than dalet amos by dalet amos not require an uka? So that's the Gemara's question. My time up. Where do we get this distinction? So I'm a rabba. That's the girsa that we have. But on the side, it brings down the girsa, the riff and the rush, it should be rava. And in the defus yad, it brings down the girsa, it's rav. On the omer beis, Rashi has the girsa of rav, and then it changes it on the side to the girsa of rabba. Just to make life simple, we're going to keep this with the girsa of rabba throughout. But again, there are different opinions. It could be rava or rav. So this opinion, rabba, says as follows, omer rabba, mipnei sha'odim osu listapik sasayim mayim b'chol yom. This is what I mentioned before. Rabba tells us that the normal usage of a person is that he has two saw, what's called the sasayim, worth of wastewater every day. And what does he do with this wastewater? He wants to pour it out in his garage. He didn't have indoor plumbing. So, ba'arba amos, other motzil is alfon. So he takes this water and he goes and puts it outside in his courtyard on the dust. This is the example I've given previously of Ziluf, when we had the Gemara in Shabbos, is when they do the seventh inning stretch and they water the infield. So you want to keep the dust down. You don't want the ball hitting the infield and a whole cloud of dust going up so that the shortstop can't catch the ball. So we're dealing here with a person wishing to, as we'll see in the summer months when it's dry, he wants to make sure that his yard doesn't have a lot of dust. As Rashi points out, Shru Yehi Lezalef Laharbitz Afora. He's going to moisten the dirt, Shlo Yale Avka, that the dust won't go up in the air. The Bimosa Chama, during the summer months when it's dry in Eretz Yisrael, Mukmida Lola Masnisa Lakamen Biraisa, we're going to learn this on the Omid Beis, Bekivin the Rotsa Lazalfan, since he's doing this over here for the purposes of wetting his infield, he's doing this to make sure that there's not a lot of dust, therefore he's allowed to do this. And even if he does, inami shofik lu v'nafke, even if he pours it there and it doesn't just math down the dirt, wet down the dust, it goes and flaks v'nafke and it flows outside, lo miskayim machshavta, that wasn't his intention, and therefore he is allowed to do this if it's larger than 4x4 amos, so then he's doing it for ziluf, Rabba says, and therefore it's allowed. That's where we get the distinction between less than 4 amos and more than 4 amos. And that's where we turn to the Amid Beis. If it's pachos midalit, so then you're not going to do the ziluf, Rashi explains, and a royal azale. Nobody does this for such a small area. And therefore, when you're pouring it out there, your machshav is to get it out of your courtyard and to go into Rosh HaSarabim. You don't want it over here. And therefore, if it's pachos midalit al dalit, shovchon, you're pouring it out there, and therefore it would go into the Rosh HaSarabim, and it wouldn't be allowed. Therefore, Ida Ovid Uka Shari. Therefore, if you make this drainage area, this pit in the ground, to collect the water, so then it's perfectly good, because it's not going to go into the Rosh HaSarabim, even if it does, not your intention. Ilo, but if you don't make this Uka, then it's also, then you're not allowed to go and do this. That's Rabba's explanation. Rav Zeira Amar, no, he says a different reason. Dalit Amos Taimei. He says, when you have Dalit Amos, so the water will not go beyond that. You have nothing to do with Zilah. If you're not interested in watering down the dust, you just want this water out of your house. And when you have a larger area, it's more than Dalit Amos, so then the water will get absorbed. Your sosayim will get absorbed in this area. But if it's pachos midalit amos, lo taimi, it's not going to get absorbed. It's going to be too saturated, and some of the water is going to flow out, and therefore it's not allowed. So that's what Rav Zeira says. Rav Zeira says it's because of physical absorption, and Rabba said it's because you want to water down the dust and not have it so dusty. Is there a difference between these two? Might be Nayu. Is there a nafkamina between the shita of Rabba and Rav Zeira? Shemur says yes. Omer Abaye, orich v'katin ikabinayu. There's a difference over here in terms of the type of a yard that you have. If you have a perfect square, so then it works for both of them. It can work to absorb, and it can also work for ziluf. However, if you don't have a perfect square, instead of it being 4x4 and it's 16 square amos, you have 8x2, which is also 16 square amos. In this situation, according to Rav Zeira, who says that the purpose is absorption, so what difference does it make what orientation the 16 square amos are? Whether they're 8x2 or whether they're 4x4, there's enough space to absorb the water. So therefore, according to Rav Zeira, it doesn't make any difference what the dimensions are. As long as it's a total of 16 square amos, you're fine. 4x4, 8x2, no difference. But according to Rabba, who says it's the purpose is for ziluf, so in an 8x2 area, there's no benefit of doing the ziluf. It's not a usable area. It's too narrow an area. And therefore, people don't do ziluf. So that would be the nafkamina between Rabba and Rav Zeira. If it wasn't 4x4, if it was 8x2, Rav Zeira would say it's still fine, and Rabbi would say it's no good. Gemara says, "Tan, our Mishnah, chotzer v'yachsadra mitztarfin l'dalet amos." Our Mishnah, we said in the middle of the Mishnah, that if you had a chotzer and you had an achsadra, each of them was less than dalet amos, so you could combine them, and you can see a diagram of this in the Pirush Chai on page 190, diagram number 108. So you have, coming out of your house, you go into the achsadra, and then you go into the chotzer. And the total dimensions of this are 4x4. Now, chotzer v'achsadra mitztarfin l'dalet amos. It says they can combine to dalet amos. So, bishlam l'Rav Zeira nicha. This works out very well according to Rav Zeira, who says that as long as you have 16 square amos over here, you're fine. Lav davka, I already gave you in the diagram on page 190 in the Pirush Chai and 108, and I explained it, that it's exactly 4x4. But lav davka, it could have been that the achsadra is smaller and the chotzer is larger, or vice versa. So it's a total area of 16 square amma, and therefore that would be good according to Rab Zeira. However, l'rabba, who says that it has to be an area that is royal and ziluf, a little rabba kasha. So the Gemara gives the answer, as that diagram is illustrating, Tir Gemara, Rav Zeira, Aliba the Rabba. Rav Zeira answered the Rabba. Again, I always point this out. The Amoraim were not interested in winning by a mistake. They only wanted the Torah Lamita. They wanted to figure out what the right answer is. So even though Rabba may not have said this answer, Rav Zeira himself gave the teretz to Rabba, and therefore he's talking about Biachsadra, Malachas, Apnei Kolachot Sechula. The example is exactly like the diagram
108, and that the Achsadra and the Chatzar together make up a 4x4. And therefore, this is perfectly good, even according to Rabbah, not just according to Reb Zeira. That's the type of Achsadra-Chatzar relationship that we're dealing with. Mark continues and says, Toshma, let's bring a raya to Rabbah from our brisa, this brisa. Chatzer she'ein bo dalet amos al dalet amos. If a chatzer doesn't have 4x4 dimensions, ein shochel nesocha mayim b'shabbos. Now here it specifically says 4x4. Now, bishlomo l'rabbah nicha. This is working out well according to Rabbah. Why did it specifically say 4x4? Because it has to be royal azilof. El rozeira kasha, according to rozeira, why did it have to be 4x4? Could have been 8x2, would have been just as good. Because the 8x2 absorbs just as well as the 4x4. It's the 16 square amma that absorbs. We don't care what the dimensions are in terms of the configuration. But according to Rabbah, it Badavka has to be an area royal azilof, and that's only 4x4. So the Braisa says specifically 4x4, it's a riot to Rabbah and Akasha and Rav Zeira. So how would Rav Zeira answer this? Amalek Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira would tell us, Hamani, whose opinion is this? Rabbanan he. This is the opinion of the Rabbanan. However, Umas Nisan, Rav Elezer ben Yaakov he. The opinion of our Mishnah is Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Now, what exactly is this answer? So Rashi explains, Hamani Rabbanan he, to say that this Brisa that requires 4x4 is only the opinion of the Rabbanan, it's not the opinion of Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Rashi explains the Lo Sharule Mishum Shir Makom Bliya Samayim, that the rabbis aren't saying that we're interested in Bliya Samayim. They're saying specifically in our Mishnah, Afilu Biv Neya Amma, even if it's 100 Amma, so it could certainly be absorbed. Lo Yishbok L'socho. You're not allowed to pour into it because they're not interested in absorption. They're interested in the appearances over here, and therefore they said Elo Al Hagag or Al Chatzar. You're only allowed to pour it onto the roof or onto a chatzar. Alma, we see that the Tama did who? The reasoning behind the rabbis is Mishum Zilof. So the rabbis hold the Zilof. So this Braisa is only going according to the opinion of the Chachamim in our Mishnah, who argue with Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. So Rav Zeira would say, yeah, this Braisa doesn't go like me. This Braisa is the Chachamim's opinion, and I agree that according to the Chachamim, it's Zilof. However, according to Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, that's what our Mishnah goes like. It doesn't have to be 4x4, it could even be 8x2. The critical amount is absorption. And therefore, that's what Rav Zeira says. Masnisin, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, that tells us that the critical amount is how much it can absorb. If you have 16 square amos, regardless of the configuration, it can absorb. So the Gemara says, so why is he forcing it? Umay duchake, the Rav Zeira. Why is Rav Zeira, so to say, forcing our Mishnah, the Okal Masnisin, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov? Why is he making our Mishnah only be like Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov? Why didn't he say, instead of absorption, why didn't he say zilof? In this way, it could be consistent with the Chacham. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Masnishin Kishisei. The actual language of our own Mishnah made it difficult to explain it like zilof, and that's why I prefer to say it like absorption. And that is, my Irya Detani, why did our Mishnah specifically use the language Chatzer Shehi Pechusa? It didn't say Chatzer Shehi Pachas Midalad Adalad. It said Chatzer Shehi Pechusa. Pechusa doesn't imply any specific configuration, it just implies that the total has to be 16 square amas. Listen, it should have said, if you wanted to say that it's talking about zilof, it should have said chatzer shepsucha, or listen, chatzer she'ein bo dalet amos al dalet amos. If you wanted to tell me zilof, you should have said specifically dalet amos al dalet amos. But since you said just pechusa, it meant that it's deficient in the 16 square amas, regardless of whether it's a 4x4 configuration or an 8x2 configuration. Oh, that's what bothered him. Elav shmamino to Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Therefore, Rav Zeira said that our Mishnah is bedafka going like Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, which says that it's absorption and not like the Chachamim that say it's zilof. Ah, shmamino, this is a good raya. The more questions it says, if this sefer v'hor mi the sefer Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, this case in the sefer is Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Sefer means over here compared to the Reisha. Then Reisha lab Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. So then the first opinion that's in our Mishnah would not be Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. But it sounded like the first opinion was Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. So Gemara says, and this is what I mentioned before, that the first opinion in the Mishnah is not a separate opinion. This is also Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Kula Rav Elezer ben Yaakov he. In fact, the entire first section of the Mishnah, until we get to the Chachamim Omrim, is all Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. V'chisuri Machsura, and parts of the Mishnah were missing. As I mentioned also many times, Rav Yehuda Anasi, Rebbe, left out certain places in the Mishnah
certain words, and we have to learn it and understand it in order that we should still have the idea that the Torah Shabbat Peh, Mishnah is the Torah Shabbat Peh. We don't want to write down always 100% everything. So Rebbe alluded to this idea that it's Torah Shabbat Peh by not always writing down all the words in the Mishnah. So Chizuri Matzur V'Achitani. So therefore, there were some words in the Mishnah missing over here to understand the Mishnah properly, and this is how you have to learn the Mishnah. Chotzer Sheep Chuso Midalin Amos. If a chotzer, a courtyard, is less than Dalit Amos by Dalit Amos, meaning it doesn't have a 16 square Amma area, ain't shofel and sochel mayim Shabbos. You're not allowed to pour water into it on Shabbos unless you have an ukah. Implication being, ha Dalit Amos shofel. If it has Dalit Amos, then it's good. Why? Shebelezer ben Yaakov Omer. As long as it has this 16 square Amos, it's fine, because Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov's opinion is, because as long as there are four Amos in the Rishus HaRabim that are covered up, so then it can absorb it in this situation, and it is perfectly good. So it's not just, it's Pechusa, it's not just telling us it has to be 4x4. According to the way that we're now reading the Mishnah, the entire first section is Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov, that as long as it's 16 square Amos and it can absorb it, the critical point is the absorption, so then it doesn't make a difference what the configuration is. Then we say, Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov Omer Biva Komor, we said that if it's covered up, it's okay, but now, we don't quote this. I'm always surprised sometimes why the quotes stop where they do, because we're not interested in this quote of Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov. Here we're focusing on the quote of the Chachamim. Chachamim say you're not allowed to pour it into the biv, but you have to pour it onto the gag. So there should either be a v'chuli over here, or there should be the opinion of the Chachamim actually listed. In any event, the Gemara says, Mas nisin de lo kichananya. This Mishnah, the opinion of the Chachamim, that you're not allowed to pour it into the biv, you have to pour it onto the gag, disagrees with the opinion of Chananya. Chananya is going to be that additional opinion that I mentioned that's even more machmir than Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov, and even more machmir than the Chachamim, the Tanya. Because we learned in a Braisa, Chananya Omer, Chananya's opinion is, afilu gag mea ama, even if you have an entire long mea ama gag, you're not allowed to go and push it in there. Lo yishpoch, you can't go and pour the water onto this gag. Why? Because the gag isn't absorbing. The gag is just going to cause the water to flow. And therefore, you're not allowed to go and pour the water on the gag, because it's no different than pouring the water into the biv, as opposed to the Chachamim, who say you are allowed to pour the water onto the gag. Gemara continues and says, Tano, b'medvar mamurim, when do you need this ukah? If the chotzer is less than 16 square amma, according to Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov, when do you need the ukah? B'medvar mamurim b'yemos hachama, only in the dry summer months. Avo b'yemos hageshamim, in the wet winter, rainy season, then you don't need an ukah, even in a small yard. Shofech, you'll have to pour there, v'shona, and keep on pouring there again. Ve'no nimna, you don't have to stop, even though the water is going to potentially flow out into the Rishus HaRabim. Now, why is this? Why is there a difference between the summer and the winter? My taima, what's the rationale behind this? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Adam Rotzer Shibalu Mayim B'mekomam. Because it's all muddy and rainy. You don't mind that it gets absorbed over here. And therefore, in this situation, you have no interest in the water going out of the yard. And therefore, you don't need an ukah. You're happy. It's all muddy. You're just dumping it over there. And therefore, you don't need an ukah. Abai doesn't like this. Amalei Abai. Abai says to Rava, really? If what you're saying is true, that a person doesn't mind that the water is over there, so then the Chachamim in our Mishnah don't make any sense. It says, Amalei Abai, Vari Shovchin. In our Mishnah, we said that you're allowed to pour it onto the gag, and then the Chacham said it will go into the biv, and it can go out. Why? The other road to Shibalu, because the person wants it to be absorbed, not on the roof, he wants it to be absorbed in the biv, and as long as there's enough room in the biv for it to be absorbed, so it's not going to go into the Rishus HaRabim. So even though this person has in this situation no intention of the water going into the Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, b'ketani lo yishpok, you're not allowed to pour it right into the bib. But how come? Rava said that if you don't care that the water flows into the Rishus HaRabim, you're allowed to pour it into the chatzir, even though it's going to flow into the Rishus HaRabim. So then why did the Chacham say you can't pour it right into the bib? There's enough room that it can get absorbed in the bib, so why can't you pour it directly into the bib, if what you're saying is correct? So Rava responds, and he says, Amalei, Hasam lamai nechushla. In the case of the chotzer during the winter rainy season, what are we concerned about? There's nothing to be concerned about. Lamai nechushla. Are we concerned that, oh, he doesn't want the water to be in his chutz because it's going to ruin it, so it's already muddy. It's the rainy season. It's always muddy. So therefore, the additional water doesn't bother him.
I the mishum gezera. If we can say we make gezera over here, Shema Yomru Tzinoru Shel Ploni Mekalech Mayim. If people see water coming out of this pipe, they're going to say, "Oh, so and so is pouring water into the Rishus Harabim," and that's why we need to have an uka. So no, that wouldn't apply also in the winter months because Stam Tzinoru is Mekalkanim because of all the rain. So there's constantly going to be water streaming out over here, and therefore there's no problem in the winter months. And therefore, it's only during the summer, during the dry season, that the rabbis would not allow you to go pour the water into the biv. So that's how Rava understands this brisa. Rav Nachman has a different understanding. Rav Nachman says, B'emos ha-gishamim, during the rainy winter season, uka machzik sosayim, since you make an uka, it has the ability to hold sosayim, so then no sosayim. You're allowed to put it in sosayim, and in fact, Tosu says, lav dafka sosayim, the bottom Tosos, he says, elo afilu kuraim, you can even pour in two kurs, that's 60 sa. A kur is 30 sa, so kuraim is 60 sa. So not only do you, can you pour in two sa, you can even put in 30 times as much, you can put in 60 sa. The lav hachi and yichiluk bein sosayim l'sa, otherwise there'd be no difference over here between saying it's machzik sa or sosayim, as we're going to see in a second. So therefore, B'yamos ha-gishamim, Rav Nachman tells us, the uka, if it has the ability to hold two saw, you can pour in as much as you want. But if it only has machzik saw, if it only holds one saw, then only in the winter, no stem low saw. You're only allowed to put in one saw into it. However, b'yamos ha-chama, during the summer months, when it's dry, so then if it's machzik sasayim, no stem low sasayim, then you can pour in as much as you want. However, if it's in the summer months, it's only machzik saw, ain no stem low kol ikur. You're not allowed to put anything into it. That's the difference between the rain and the summer. The rainy season and the summer season, the dry season. More questions. It says, Mimosa Chamanami. So why don't understand? Why in the winter, if you can put in a saw, if it's only a saw, you can still put in a saw. Why in the summer? Can't you put in a saw if it holds a saw? Mimosa Chamanami. Maxi saw, Nesiv la saw. Why can't you put in a saw? So when it says, here we make a Xera. Xera Dilma Osi Litain Lei Sosayim. Because if you're allowed to put in one saw, you may put in two saw. And that wouldn't be allowed because it's going to flow out. And since two saws is the normal amount that a person has, that's mistumba what he's going to have, and therefore we make a gzera. Unless you have a two saw uka, you can't pour in any into a one saw uka. Where it says, then how come b'mosa gishamim we do allow it? Again, if you're making a gzera, it should be the same gzera, one would have thought, for the rainy season or for the dry season. Why did we not make the gzera in the winter, in the rainy season? We said, Uka machzik sosayim, no slo sosayim. Uka machzik saw, no slo saw. We should have said, no, you can't put in anything if it only has a saw. So one guy says, the same terrors that we gave a minute ago. Hasa my nechushla. What's the problem? In the rainy season, the two possible problems aren't concerns. Imishim kilko, if we're concerned, oh, he's going to ruin his yard, and therefore he wants it to go out to Rosh Hashanah. No, he doesn't. It's all muddy. Ha-mikalkal of a kaima. It's already ruined. It's already muddy. So therefore, he doesn't care if it stays there or goes down to Shusarat. And if you tell me the gzera, imishum gzera, the rishon make the gzera that we mentioned a moment ago, shem yomru tzinor shaploni mekaleach mayim, so then, imishum gzera, shem yomru tzinor shaploni mekaleach mayim, stam tzinor is mekalkanein. During the rainy season, they're always having water coming out of them because there's always water around. And therefore, that's why he says it's not a problem. Amar Abaye therefore concludes and says, Hilkach, in this situation, afilu kor, afilu karayim. So in the rainy season, we're not concerned, you can even pour in a huge amount of kor, 30 saw, afilu karayim, even 60 saw. As Rashi says, kivan deleka lemecha shlemidi, with no concerns here in the winter rainy season, so therefore you can pour as much as you want. Now we conclude the Mishnah, where we said, v'chein shnei diyuto zu kineged zu. If you have the two like patio areas off of the chatzir, one on the right side of the chatzir, one on the left side of the chatzir, like we said in diagram 109 on page 190 in the Pirush Chai. So we said, if only one side made an uka, only that side can use the uka. The other side cannot use the uka. Amar Rava, afilu erbu. Rava says, this is true, even if they made an eruv chatzeros. So now you'll have to go carry into the chatzir from their platforms, from their diyuta. Nevertheless, you can't go pour the water in there into the uka. Only the side that made it can do that. So Amar Rava Afilu Irvu. Even if they made an Erev, you're not allowed to go do this. So even if the people in the right chatzer made an Erev with the people in the left chatzer, so the middle area, the chatzer, is all perfectly usable by both, so they're still not allowed to go and pour it on the left side because they didn't make the uka. Why is that? So either you have the gear, so Amar Le Abaye or Amar Abaye, either he said it directly to him. The Mashal says, no, you delete these words. Abaye answered, he says, my timer, why can't the people on the left use the ukah? He says, ilemo mishum nefisha demaya, if you're telling me there's too much water, and therefore that's why we don't allow you to use ukah. But we learn, v'atanya, achas li ukah, v'achas li gistera, berecha, v'areva, once you have either an ukah there, or you have a gistera. Gistera is like a broken, a shard of some sort of a container. Since it's broken, Rashi says that they used to place it over there to go collect the water. Rashi says, Kli cherish in istak, it's a broken earthenware container, a shard of pottery. And also shom chesiv, the kabbal amayim, and they put the half there that's broken to go collect the water. And that's why it says a gistra. Lo chazil, the tashmish achrina, it can't be used really for much else. So if you have either an ukah, or you have a gistra, or you have a brech, or you have a pool, or you have an areva, you have some sort of a trough or a small boat, Rashi says, Brecha is Choritz Rochav Ke'en Bibosh Osim Adagim. This is like some sort of a pond that you keep fish in normally. Or an Areva, he says, the Svino Ketana, a small boat, something again like a trough, like imagine a small rowboat. So in this situation, if you have these there, Afa Bishin Ismailu Mayim Erev Shabbos, even they were all filled up for Shabbos, so nevertheless, Shochan Sochan Mayim Shabbos, you're allowed to pour more water into them. So the concern that you're saying, my time, Yilem Mishum Nefisha Demaya, it doesn't apply. The Braisa tells us that we're not concerned. Even if it's filled up, you'll have to pour more water into it. So the Gemara says, you're right. If Rava really said something, he couldn't have been saying Afilu Irvo, because Abaye just proved that wrong. So the Gemara says, this is what Rava really said. Amar Rava, Rava said, and we turn to the Amar Aleph, Peites Amar Aleph, the only time the left side can't use the ukah is lo shanu ela shelo irvu, if they didn't make an erev chatzeros. But aval irvu, if they made an erev chatzeros mutarim, then they're allowed to, because there is no concern over here how much water will go in there, because as we pointed out, the braisa tells us that there's no problem, even if there's a lot of water already there. The halach is, once you've made an ukah, you've demonstrated you don't care for the water to go into the rishus harabim, and if it does, it's not your concern. Where it says, v'chilo ervu, if they didn't make an erev chatzeros, my time alone, why can't they pour the water in there? Because they're pouring it in there indirectly. They're not pouring it in directly. They're pouring it onto their diyuta, and it's going to flow from the diyuta into the chatzer. So, therefore, they're not directly putting it into the chatzer. So why can't the side that did not make a ukah pour it onto their diyuta and let it fall off there into the chatzer and go into the ukah? So Gemara says, my time alone. So Amar Vashi, here's a gzeira. Dilma osi lafuki mimane debatim lahasam. Because you're right, technically there'd be no problem if they poured the water onto the diuta, and then it fell off the diuta into the chatzer, and it rolled from the chatzer into the drain. That would technically be allowed. But here what's concerned is, instead of doing it that way, they don't want to muddy up their area. A person may take his container and just dump it directly into the ukah. That would be carrying if they didn't have an erev chatzeros from the diuta into the chatzer. So therefore, the rabbis made a gzeira. Rashi says, "Duma osi lafuke mimane to batim lahosa," because you may come to take out the utensils from your house and pour it directly into the ukah. That we didn't want, and therefore, that's why the rabbi said, without an erev chatzeros, you can't even pour it onto your diuta to flow into the chatzer, to flow into the ukah. Hajun alecha ketzad mishtatim, hajun alecha ketzad mishtatim, hajun alecha ketzad mishtatim. With this, we finish the beautiful eighth parak and today's shir.